This is Hidden Killers Year in Review, a look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Donna Adelson, well, she walked into court this week hoping to convince a judge that she was the real victim here. 75-year-old grandmother trapped in a jail full of violent criminals, denied proper medical care, and barely getting any sleep. There was a lot of sighs in her testimony. She said she was being assaulted, extorted, and suffering while awaiting trial. In other words, she was in jail. But the prosecution had a slightly different take on all this, one that involved jailhouse calls, escape plans, and an almost successful flight to Vietnam. But by the end of the hearing, Donna wasn't just staying behind bars. Her own words were now officially admissible at trial. Joining me to discuss is criminal defense attorney Bob Mata, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, wherever you get podcasts, also on YouTube, to break down exactly what went wrong for Donna in the courtroom. Let's get right to it. If you're a defense attorney, how do you even begin to spin the jailhouse call where your client is literally talking about escaping to a country with no U.S. extradition?
I mean, just like her lawyer did. I mean, you know, and she tried to sell the story. She's like, if I thought for 1 minute she was trying to escape, I never would have signed off on this motion. I never would have drafted it. You know, so I mean, like, they came up with this concept that, oh, you know, Harvey and I had gone to Vietnam. We needed some peace. We were very upset, obviously. Charlie, our son, had just been found guilty and was going to prison. And you know, and I checked with, you know, people and there was no warrant for me. You know, I talked to the lawyer. They said, look, if there's nothing out there, you can do anything you want. You know, so I ended up booking the tickets because we had been to Vietnam previously and we found it to be a very harmonious, peaceful country and we really enjoyed it. So that's where we decided to go, you know, and now whether or not it just so happens that they have no extradition there, you know, and in the place that they were going to go to yes. after that had no extradition too. So,
And it's a talking point. It's not just like a, oh, really? I didn't know they had no extradition. It's like you're literally discussing it. So I'm going to guess it's kind of a selling point of that little trip there, you know, just in case you wanted to stay over a little bit longer. I mean, could this all have been avoided? I mean, why did she take the stand at her own bond hearing? I don't really, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the purpose of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think they needed her to get on in order to testify to the shit that was going on in the jail. You know, like, yeah. I don't know how else you get it in. Yes, it was written in the pleading, but that's not evidence in the case. That's just words on paper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like we read pleadings all the time. People many times think whatever's in one side's pleading or the other is total bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the point of like you got to go in and vet it at court. So I can see why they did it. They came in. They obviously kept it to a very limited scope. You know, but it came off exactly how you think it would. Like she's a 75-year-old woman who hates being in jail.
Yes.
You know, like a bunch of like petty shit that a bunch of everybody in jail goes through. You know, yeah, the beds are not comfortable, Donna.
Yeah.
You know, people are mean in there. You know, you're dealing with some hardened criminals that are going to be in there. They're going to know who you are. Mm-hmm. They're going to know that you have money. They're going to come at you. I mean, that's kind of part of the deal, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the medical care is not going to be what you're used to. You got a wax buildup in your tough shit.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending $7,500 to have some high-end ENT guy like dig that shit out. Well, you're not getting that in jail. Yeah. Sorry. You know, you're having a hard time hearing. Too bad. Get some Q-tips.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I know. I mean, did you find any of her arguments of her care in jail or lack thereof to be viable or anything that really, you know, deserves a whole lot of attention?
No, I didn't. No. In all honesty, could that be because I'm covering the Richard Allen case so much and yeah. I've seen what
well, real, yeah,
through pre-trial. Yeah. It makes it look like her shit's the pettiest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So, you know, like, and I realize that I could be looking at it from that perspective and being like, wow, like this, if she only knew.
Yeah.
You know, how bad it could really be. You know, but if I'm looking at it from a perspective of if she were my client and she were complaining of these things, I'd take the shot. You know, I'd take the shot. I'd write it up. I'd be like, all right, like, I don't want you to hold your breath on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the likelihood, because I don't think she's as much of a flight risk as she is a suicide risk.
Yeah.
I tend to think that, like, that would be my concern if I were the state. That, and I was frankly a little bit surprised that they didn't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of stuck with the flight risk. I mean, they've got her passport. Like, I don't know that Donna's going down to the boat docks and, you know, like, paying somebody $5,000 to, like, stow her and Harvey away and bring them to Cuba. I mean, maybe she could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're obviously going to be tailing her. She'd obviously have a GPS. And if she cuts it off, they're all, you know what I mean? It's like, the concept of her, the flight risk thing is not that big to me.
Yeah.
The concept of her and Harvey just saying, she's like, dear, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, like, I got a little bit of a taste from this jail experience. Like, the concept of me living the rest of my life in a prison, I'm not willing to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. And I'm calling it a day, you know, because I mean, she can just look at her son's case.
Mm-hmm.
And no, they're going to get her.
Yeah.
They're going to get her. You know, I don't see any world in which she's walking away with this, with the not guilty.
What are the biggest things you think they're going to get her on here? Because one of the biggest holes in this is that there's not technically direct evidence. There's not an email or a text or recorded conversation where Donna explicitly orders the hit. There is a check, but we don't have, you know, the exact smoking gun here. What are going to be the big points that they're going to hammer out here in court?
They're going to have to continue to build up the concept that Charlie didn't have cash liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, because then the money can only come from one place. And the other thing that we know is that the money is going to be tracked. So it came from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So short of Donna having a safe, Donna and Harvey having a safe with just straight up cash, it was never accounted for. And these are all cash transactions. You know, maybe she's got a shot in kind of building some doubt that they don't have the proof. But I mean, otherwise it's, you know, you're putting on the case against Charlie in the sense that, well, Charlie was the middleman, you know, but she was the money man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no other way to look at this. You know, because I mean, a large amount of money was paid off to Meg Manaba, you know, and that's like, it came from somewhere. You know, I mean, that's what the case, like, they're probably, and, you know, frankly, we can't pretend that the, you know, the jailhouse calls and the overhears don't exist because, you know, she knew.
Yeah.
You know, they have enough to know.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not she was at the, you know, she was the puppet master, because really it's the same issue that they have with Wendy,
mm-hmm.
probably to a greater extent. Because I was having this conversation yesterday that, you know, the problem, like, there's no reason they need to be waiting for arresting Wendy if they have the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think secretly, my buddy Jay, like, came up with this concept and it really resonated. He's like, you know what? I think that what the hope is from the state is that if Donna ends up getting convicted, that it's going to really, really piss Charlie off. And it's going to piss Charlie off to the extent, and the concept being that now him, his mother, potentially his father, who they may arrest next, he's still, still very much in play.
Yeah.
You know, that every one of the family members is now either in prison or going to prison, and Wendy's living down in Texas eating fucking bonbons.
Mm-hmm.
That might be enough for Charlie to turn state's evidence and say, yeah, I'll give it up. I'm done with this shit. Like, we're all not going to, like, sit in prison while Wendy lives her life.
Yeah.
When we did this for her. So, You know, and it's going to be interesting. Like what is Charlie going to say to protect his mom? I think Charlie will probably go to the mat protecting his mom, you know, which is a very tricky thing because he's got appeals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's put in an impossible position where he's going to really have to go up there and continue to deny everything, you know, because he can't submarine his own appeal. You know, if it's still his contention that he didn't have anything to do with this, that, you know, that they all got whatever Rashbaum's theory was, you know, that they were getting extorted, you know? So yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I think the lesson that you take away from this is, you know, you look at the irony that she'd be willing to move to Tallahassee now, but wasn't willing to do it back when Dan was alive. You know, you want to be near your grandkids and go fucking move near your grandkids.
Yeah. That's up to you at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't kill the father.
No. And you don't necessarily force him to have to go move back where you are. That's right. Your kids move out and they move on and they go on with life. If you'd like to be close to them, that's on your job at that point in time.
Exactly.
And you live with the consequences of that choice.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Donna Adelson.
Yeah.
That Donna took the stand this week, and let's just say it did not go the way she had planned. The 75-year-old matriarch of the Adelson family now facing first-degree murder charges in the murder for hire of Dan Markell pleaded with the court for release, claiming she was a frail elderly woman, lots of sighs, suffering behind bars. This is how she testified. She described jail assaults, medical neglect, and sleep deprivation, painting herself as the victim of the system rather than the crime. But then came the prosecution's move, the jailhouse phone calls, where she was caught discussing escape plans with her son. And there's that. Charlie, you know, who the judge ruled bond denied and the recorded calls admissible at trial. It was game over for Donna's attempted freedom. Joining me to discuss, retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer, host of Break the Case, a podcast. You can get it wherever you download podcasts and on YouTube. Very good interviews there. I was watching part of your live. I just caught the very end of it the other night, but it was very emotional. Anyway. It's good. And analyze Donna's courtroom performance, the evidence against her, and what happens next. Jennifer, you've seen your fair share of high-stakes interrogations and testimony. What's your take on Donna's attempt to talk her way out of jail? Did her time in there, you know, help the case, or did she just dig her hole a bit deeper?
Her hole was dug a lot deeper, Tony, and I can't imagine why her attorney thought this would be a good idea, but my guess is, like we've discussed in other cases, that ultimately it is up to the client. And if the client says, listen, I think I can get up there and look at how I've aged, and I'm going to put on a show and I'm going to convince this judge. The issue is they seem to forget or not look through all the discovery and say, this might be a bad idea. And it just was a horrible idea. And there was no way that she was going to be released even without those tapes, because she was getting ready to go to Vietnam anyway before she was ever arrested.
And that's the fun part of this whole thing. It's she even like claimed to have an excuse and a reason why. She's someone who has a reason for everything. She's what I would call but I was just type person, where everything that they do, they're never wrong. There's never any flaws to any of their thinking. And if they're ever questioned about it, it's just met with sighs and, but I was just doing this or that. And she's seemed to have gotten through life pretty well with that. It's just kind of now, it seems, at an older age and not having, you know, this family that, you know, doubts on her every move or every whim, that it doesn't seem to work so well anymore. I think she's having a hard time adjusting to that.
Yeah, she's definitely having a hard time adjusting. Look, anybody would have a hard time adjusting in jail for their first time, but she lived a very privileged life. And the thing is that just it's always astounding, and it is almost humorous that these people literally just think they can get over on everybody and on the system and on a judge and attorneys and people in the audience, that somehow they are so they're so smart, they're so wise, they're so well-spoken that they just think that they can convince everything of their folly. And they never can.
They can't. And it's, you can feel the frustration in her testimony the other day. It was very interesting for her to be up on the stand doing all this, because it just did not play well at all. I know she was trying to do the frail old lady thing, but I didn't feel it. It just felt like a very manipulative, narcissistic person. And anyone who's dealt with a person like that before, I mean, that was like the definition of it on the stand.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I know that those are psychological analyses that have to be made by psychiatrists. But nevertheless, Tony, as you and I both know, we see the behaviors in criminals that they often have all of these characteristics, and they literally think they are the smartest person, not in the room, in the universe.
Yeah. And that's when you look through that lens to try to understand the thinking, it makes a lot more sense to go, oh, this is why she's acting this way, because she thinks this way. The prosecution wasted no time countering Donna's plea for sympathy. They played the jailhouse phone calls where she and Charlie are openly discussing countries with no extradition. How important is that for prosecutors to use the subject's own words against them? And how much weight does that kind of evidence carry, especially when this comes to trial?
Oh, it carries so much weight. And you look at this twofold, right? In a hearing like this, you're looking at, can you prove danger to the community? In other words, that she would commit a crime like this again or something else harmful. Second, you're looking at, are they a flight risk? That's the two-pronged test. Well, this just blew number two away because clearly she would have been trying to maneuver to get out of the country and to a country that it'd be difficult to get her back. There's no better evidence than video and audio of a perpetrator's own words.
Yeah. And 75 years old grandma, she already tried to get out once. I would not be surprised if she attempted that again. But that being said, she is 75 years old and looking at a life sentence if she is convicted. Where do you think this goes? Do you think she's going to try and make some sort of a plea deal at this point? Is she going to flip on somebody, or is she just going to go down and, you know, just kind of fade off into the distance in prison if convicted?
I'm going to have to go with door number three. And this is why. I don't see the government making any sort of a deal except for something like, okay, we'll give you 25 years.
Yeah.
With a possibility of parole after 20, which is really a life sentence.
Sure.
I mean, it's hard living in prison, hard, hard living. And, you know, I don't know how long she would even make it. And it just doesn't behoove the government because they have a strong case. But I could see them throwing out something like that. And maybe she would take it. It's possible if she doesn't want to fight, but she seems like a fighter to me. Mm-hmm. And I think she would just say, listen, I'm going to die here anyway. So let me roll the dice and see if I, you know, what I can do.
Do you think this is the end of the Adelson saga? Are we going to be done after Donna is convicted, if she is convicted? Or are we going to see this continue onto another member of the family, like Wendy or somebody of that nature? Again, she's never been charged with anything, but a lot of people are wondering, what did she know?
Well, and you bring up such a great point, and I didn't talk about door number two. Could she, Donna Adelson, turn on her daughter, Wendy? Could that happen? And would the state then be interested? Now, that's another story. Mm-hmm. I think the state would absolutely be interested because I think that they believe Wendy is knee deep in this deal. I mean, she drove right by, you know, his place. So I think that they would love somebody to get on the stand and turn evidence against Wendy and expose her. If it's true, they don't want lies, but if it's true and they could corroborate it. But would Donna do that to her own daughter?
I don't know.
That's the question.
I think Donna would do it to anyone but her children. I think there's a possibility she would do it to her children if she felt wronged by them. But I don't know that she feels that way. I mean, sometimes those narcissistic megalomaniac type people, like, again, I think she seems to be. That's my conjecture. They keep some people very tight, and they will not do that to them. They will protect them, but then everybody else, it's the Wild West. I don't know. I don't know if she would do that.
I don't think she would, and I only say that because of the grandchildren, mm-hmm. and the fact that she did all of this, mm-hmm. for her child, you will. And so it just seems a complete oxymoron if then all of a sudden she would turn on Wendy. But could it happen? Anything's possible. I don't think it's probable.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.